The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew this afternoon. May I say Happy New Year? We haven't said Happy New Year yet. We are 2 weeks into the spiritual new year on our church calendar in this season of Advent. And of course, the new year on the secular calendar will begin in just 2 weeks. You've probably made, at least I'm hopeful that you've made some spiritual resolutions for this new church year. And we pray that using the silence of Advent, that those resolutions, with the help of the Holy Spirit, can really take root in your lives. Mary Duturis Paust is joining us right now with a new way to look at how you can make all of your New Year's resolutions, both spiritual and otherwise, grow within you, really take root in the fertile soil of your soul. Mary is a writer, a retreat leader, a spiritual director. She lives in upstate New York. She's the author of 6 books on Catholic spirituality and 6 books on seasonal reflections, including one right now, Waiting in Joyful Hope, Daily Reflections for Advent and Christmas 2022-2023. Mary writes about her spiritual journey. Her monthly column is called Lifelines. Lifelines, and her podcast has the same name, Lifelines, and it's her mission. And right now, here on Relevant Radio and with Lifelines and her books to help you find the divine in the midst of our everyday lives, she is online at notstrictlyspiritual.com. That website is notstrictlyspiritual.com. Hi, Mary. Merry Christmas.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on.
And I should also say Happy New Year as we make some spiritual New Year's resolutions. And it's interesting, this year, and we talk about this certainly every year during the Advent season about making spiritual New Year's resolutions, but there was something different, thanks be to the Holy Spirit, in this Advent for me, where I just said, okay, I'm going to make these resolutions, and I'm going to ask you for help every single day. Mm-hmm. And as you talk about the fertile soil of our souls, here we are, 16 days into December. I can start to feel them taking root, thanks be to God. But it's only because I worked at it. I gave it lip service in past Advents, but I'm really working at it this time around. So for those of us who are trying to really cultivate that fertile soil of our soul, where do we start?
Well, it's always a hard one for people, but you know, we always have to start, I think, with some silence. And it's so challenging in our busy, noisy world that people tend to really not want to do the whole silence thing. It can be a real challenge for people, especially if they haven't experienced it. But really, even just a few minutes of turning off the noise in your house, turning off your phone, turning off your computer or TV, even if it's 5 minutes to just sit with God and be in God's presence, you don't even have to do anything other than sit and listen for the Spirit. And, you know, you may not hear anything, you know, huge news or anything, but you may just sense that you're a little bit closer to God. And right. It helps us root those resolutions. I'm not a fan of like the annual New Year's resolutions, but those plans that we have for ourselves, root it in something deeper than that surface level resolution that most people make every New Year, and often make the same resolution every New Year because those kinds of resolutions don't stick.
Now, admittedly, I started too broad. I just said, okay, here we are at the start of a new year. God, help me see your will for me and help me execute it. That's pretty big and pretty broad. And yeah. I came to the realization pretty quickly into the first day of Advent. You got to narrow that down a little bit. But that, you know, what's interesting, because of that, I was able to focus the prayer a little bit more to be specific, which was the Holy Spirit helping me focus what I'm actually asking him to help me do.
Right. And a lot of times it is, we may just be very broad in our requests. You know, we just sit there and say, send me a sign or tell me where to go. And then, of course, you know, if you're like me, you get the sign and you're like, not that sign. I want a better sign. So I'm famous for that kind of thing. But we can maybe start broad, and then we begin to see that work in our lives where we might see something and think, is that the Spirit kind of nudging me along, pushing me to where I need to go? And I think really one of the best penances I ever got in confession, which was out at the Trappist Monastery in Genesee in Western New York. And Father John Utz Bamberger, who was a novice under Merton, was a spiritual director for Henry Nouwen, and I was fortunate enough to get him as my confessor and a spiritual director on retreat. And he could see right through me saying, I don't have time, I'm too busy, my work is too hard, my life is too much. And he kind of cut, like he gave me no sympathy there. And he sort of said, every night for the next 6 weeks, I want you to sit in the presence of God for 30 minutes. And I was like, oh, can I just have two Hail Marys and three Our Fathers? Like, can I have their traditional penance? But he knew the spiritual medicine I needed, which was to put everything away and just sit face to face with God in silence and not do anything, not read scripture, not fill the space with a lot of our traditional prayers where we might be talking a lot and not listening as much. So a lot of the times it comes to being really quiet and really listening for the Spirit.
How hard was that? When did it not become hard?
The thing is, I think he told me to do it for 6 weeks because I'm convinced, you know, he was hoping it would make a new habit in me. And in the beginning, it was very hard. And then, of course, I didn't miss a day because it was penance. And so I began to love it and look forward to it. But then, don't you know, after the 6 weeks were over, it lingered a while. And then sure enough, I would say, maybe if I only did 15 minutes, it would be okay. Or I'm busy tonight. I'll skip tonight. I'll do it tomorrow. And before you knew it, I had whittled it away. And wow. I think we have to remember that in our lives. A lot of times we set these big plans and then we take some steps backwards, but that's okay. We can just begin again and say, like for me, I always think, well, I know where I need to go. He gave me the roadmap. So now I just need to get myself back there. So I think we need to give ourselves a little bit of a break when we fall off the path and just say, just pick up and start again.
Mary Deturis-Poust, you lead a lot of retreats as we talk about, and you have written in the Catholic Sun a piece called Resolve to Evolve. That's a very provocative title. Help us unpack Resolve to Evolve.
So that's one of my favorite.
So that becomes more of like a hashtag in our own spiritual lives.
Yeah, it's something I started on my blog, Not Strictly Spiritual, a few years back in conjunction with my book, Cravings, which sort of tied into the new year because it was about food and faith and trying to rid ourselves of bad habits. And so I wanted to help people understand that their resolutions, the way we tend to do them, are not really effective. You know, we all know it. We're going to lose 5 pounds. And then 1 week into the new year, we fail at our resolution. And so we give up and we just wait till the next year and do it again. So I came up with this idea of Resolve to Evolve, which was to not make a resolution and to resolve to do sort of the inner work that requires, again, like we're talking about, much harder work than saying I'm going to lose 5 pounds,
right,
is doing that inside work where we begin to look at our true stories, look at our relationship with God, and look at what we're filling the voids of our life with, where maybe we're blocking God out because we're just filling up the empty space with a lot of stuff that isn't necessary. So I'm doing this retreat at Christ the King Retreat House in Syracuse. It's in person, but it's also virtual. And we'll sort of unpack some of that and try to come up with some practical ways to put these practices into our daily life. And then 2 weeks later, we'll do a follow-up Zoom and sort of check in and see how we all did.
Okay, that's good. Resolve to Evolve. Let's unpack that here on the Drew Mariani Show with Mary Deturis-Poust, who's a writer and a retreat leader, and online at notstrictlyspiritual.com. At the beginning of our church new year, we're talking about some of those spiritual New Year's resolutions that you have made. We're a couple of weeks in. How are you doing? 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you have made that resolve to evolve, some spiritual New Year's resolutions, how are you doing so far? And do you need a little boost? 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You know, you talk about biting off more than you can chew. I thought that was something that happened to me. This was the Lent of 2021. I said, okay, I'm going to pray the Divine Office every day. And Father Marcel Tyone, who's one of our priests here on Relevant Radio, joins Morning Air every Wednesday morning. I talked to him off the air, and he said, well, okay, wait a minute. There are some baby steps that you should take first. He said, let me get you started here with a couple of books, and he did. And it was like, wow, this is more than I thought that I could handle. You know, I just thought I was, you know, maybe showing off a little bit on the radio. But now it's such a fabric of my life that there are a couple of times when, and I've got the breviary on the iPhone, where I've shut off the iPhone and it's like, time to go to, it's like, oh no, I didn't do night prayer. So I turn it back on again and read it, because it has just really become a part of the fabric of your life. And things that you think that God could never take you to, areas where God could never take you, it really is amazing when you just simply let him and get out of the way.
Yes, and you're right. Like when my kids were younger, I tried doing the Liturgy of the Hours, and I found it impossible because, of course, you know, the big hinges of the day, morning and evening prayer, are like the worst times for someone with little kids to think, okay, now I'm going to sit down and read some Psalms and do, you know, the Liturgy of the Hours. And I would get so down on myself that I couldn't do this because it felt like something I had to do.
Yeah.
And then finally, I realized I needed, and this was kind of around the time when I wrote my book, Everyday Divine, had to find a prayer life, find a prayer that fit my life, rather than taking my life and trying to shoehorn it into a style of prayer that didn't really work with the kind of life I was living. And I always tell people, our tradition has so many ways to pray that, you know, you may have a way, say, for example, that wasn't working for me then. Now I'm older, my kids are older, I have more time. Now it can become something that's much more realistic. Or I used to say I was rosary challenged. Now every single night I take my rosary beads to bed with me. May not get through it, but I start. But that was a complete change for me. So being open, like you're saying, to where the Spirit's leading you, because maybe there's a prayer style that you've not used before and is there and is waiting to take you sort of to that next place.
Every morning before Mass, I'm not bragging here, but it's just become part of the fabric. Thanks be to the Relevant Radio app, pray the rosary. And Father Rocky leads you in the rosary every single day, different ways to do the rosary. There's the super duper and the medium, and then the one without the music. So you can do something that fits your schedule on the Relevant Radio app. I pray it so much so that the dog now perks up when he hears Father Rocky's voice at the beginning of the rosary. No kidding. No kidding. Morgan, the little pug dog, because he's heard it since he was a puppy. He's been in the house since he was, 12 weeks old. So he's kind of grown up with Father Rocky praying the rosary. 888-914-9149. Mary DeTuris Paust is a writer and a retreat leader and a spiritual director living in upstate New York. She is online at notstrictlyspiritual.com. She has written about resolve to evolve, which is also the theme of an upcoming retreat. And how have you resolved to evolve? New Year's spiritual resolutions here at the beginning of the year. Teresa in Covina, California, listening to Relevant Radio 93KHJ. Hi, Teresa. You're on with Mary. Welcome.
Praise the Lord. In 2020, I started a little penny mission, asking people, do you know what's on a penny? And they say, you know, sometimes they know, something they wouldn't. But anyway, you know, I'd say, in God. Oh, we do. Okay. Anyway, about 3 years ago, I noticed that only some people wear patriotic clothing. And I thought, you know, I want to be an encourager. And so every time I see anyone, kids, anybody, a hat, shirt that's patriotic, I'll look at them and I'll point to their shirt or hat and say, I love your shirt. God bless you. God bless America. And then I've started, in God we trust. And I have never failed to get a smile. And it just, I just wish more people would start wearing patriotic. Last July, I decided to get rid of all my fancy clothes and just wear red, white, and blue. And of course, they could be fancy, you know, like a sequin vest, you know, with a flag on it. But anyway, I love that. I love this. And it's giving God honor and glory. It's praying for our country, and it's uniting us. And it's being an encourager.
That's awesome. I like that. Being an encourager. That's a point that we brought up, Mary. I don't know if you heard our conversation with Bishop Papraki from Springfield in the last half hour, is really being an encourager. And that's something that I pray for, because off the radio, I'm inherently a shy person. And, you know, behind the microphone, I'm here in this little room just speaking into this pipe. So it's very intimate. And we're talking one on one with you, who are, you might be listening on a smart speaker on your app with earbuds or in the automobile right now or in your home. So there's this intimacy that you and I have. But again, it's when you get out of the public persona, it's like, OK, how am I going to evangelize? How am I going to do what Teresa did? What do you do in that situation, Mary?
Well, I am sort of the opposite. I'm an extrovert. And so I often say I could just talk to a post and for a long time. So I tend to talk to people often. I like when I left my full-time job and went back to working for myself, one of my favorite things was going to the grocery store because I would have these long conversations with like the cashier and the person bagging the groceries and I'd find out all sorts of things about them. So, but you're right, like being an encourager, the smallest thing can, and it might seem like it's not important even to tell somebody, you know, I have curly hair. So I tend to, if I notice people with pretty curly hair, I'll be like, oh, you have such nice hair. And where'd you get it cut? And one day I did that to a woman in the grocery parking lot and she was so happy because she cuts her own hair. And it was like, I just made her day. And similarly, sometimes I'll have someone reach out to me and say, hey, somebody took a class with you and they told me how much they liked it. And it makes such a huge difference in my life. And so I know how much it means to me for someone to encourage me or to share something positive about me. So I think you're right. Like Teresa was saying, if we can give those little tiny things, those little gifts to people, they don't cost anything and it brings a smile to someone's face. And it is sort of a very soft, gentle evangelization because people kind of want what you have. They see that joy that lives inside you and they're kind of like, where does she get that from? I want some of that.
And it also brings a different dimension to your evening examine when you look at all of those little seeds of the Holy Spirit that you have just laid during the day that you may not even have been conscious about. But again, right. Engaging someone about their hair in the parking lot. And the next time you meet anybody with hair, if they're cutting it, send it to me, please, because I'm follically challenged. So I always just put in that request every time. But again, you know, those very simple things that go a very long way. Our conversation with Mary DeTouris Paust, who is a writer, retreat leader, and a spiritual director online at notstrictlyspiritual.com. She has written about resolve to evolve. And how have you done that? We're talking about spiritual New Year's resolutions. Barbara's joining us in Passaic, New Jersey, listening to Relevant Radio 1430. Hello, Barbara. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Thank you. I just, after 34 years of being away, I'm 68 years old, I just recently reverted back to the Catholic Church from the Russian Orthodox Church. And, you know, I have brain cancer and strokes and a whole bunch of things, which my sister died from last year. So I'm homebound and all. And Father Jose comes in, you know, gives me confession and all once a month and talks to me. And I could never understand what the phrase offer it up meant or how you could do it. And in confession, I was, you know, talking about certain things, you know, family problems, the physical stuff, the neurological stuff, all the suffering. And for penance, he said to me, offer up all of your suffering for the holy souls in purgatory. And it hit me. That's what it means for offering it up.
Wow, that's beautiful, isn't it, Mary?
It is beautiful. And so inspiring to hear, you know, what you're dealing with in your own life and then still doing something really for other people through your prayer life and through for other souls.
Mary, Barbara, how you feeling today? You doing okay?
So-so, you know, good days, bad days. I had another stroke a couple of days ago, but what are you going to do? It is what it is, you know. Like I said, my sister passed from. I'm ready to be in heaven and be with Jesus, so.
Well, Barbara, I'll be praying for you at Mass tomorrow. Our parish has the beautiful Rarate Mass tomorrow morning at 6:30. So I'll take your intentions to Mass tomorrow. And remember you and my chaplets and my rosaries this weekend. Barbara, thank you and God bless you. Keep us posted about how you're doing. We'll be praying for you. And a lot of our Relevant Radio listeners will be doing the same. Mary, what other, as you've resolved to evolve, now I can't get, you know, it's almost like a song that you hear. You know, you ever hear a song and it just keeps playing in your head over and over and over again? It may just be a commercial that you've just heard in passing. Now, resolve to evolve has just been branded not only in, as you say, the fertile soil of my soul, but also my brain. How else have you resolved to evolve? And I suppose that's an evolving answer as well.
It is. So those resolutions that the secular world and that many of us make at New Year's, because sometimes it can be fun to do that. I just never have been that person. Those things, because they tend to be much more surface level, they don't really help us evolve into the people God created us to be. So when I'm talking about resolve to evolve, I'm talking about starting to do that, that hard work of sort of doing the digging in the fertile soil of our souls and really starting to drop away some of those masks that we put on for the world, the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves or with the stories we believe that others have told us, and start to look at the story that God has written for us and to let that story unfold. And that that is where the real transformation starts to happen. So we look, I always say we look for, we want transformation, but we usually want transformation on our own terms. Like, I want to transform, I want to become this different person, but we don't want to let God transform us the way God wants to transform us. We want to be in control because that's our thing. So this is really about learning to get out of the way and to let God transform us in a much deeper way than we could ever do on our own.
You know, there's a spiritual equivalent to something that I always saw my mom and dad do. And they were both smokers. And if you're a baby boomer, your parents probably smoked in the car. Mom and dad did the same thing. And every so often when dad would put a cigarette in his mouth and he would plug in the lighter that was in the dashboard of the automobile, when he went to light his cigarette, he would naturally take one hand off the wheel. If my mom was in the passenger seat, she would lean over and put her hand on the steering wheel as the second hand. And that would, he would be incensed over there. Leave alone. No, the car is doing fine. But I'm thinking, how many times do I do that with Jesus? It's like, all right, I've already let him go into the driver's seat. I usually have him in the passenger seat, but now I'm reaching over to grab the steering wheel.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. I think it's our human nature. And again, we have to be gentle with ourselves and not expect that we will be able to just throw off all of those old habits that we've had and the humanness of us, but to always just be willing to say like, oh, there I go again, instead of like, beating ourselves up for those pieces of ourselves, that shadow piece of us, sometimes people will call it. Instead, recognizing that's all part of who we are, that all of the pieces of us, God, I think I wrote something recently where I was saying how God wants all of the pieces of us, not just those good pieces that are sitting over here, but the whole piece, the part of us, all the pieces put together, even the ones that we don't think are all that great.
He likes the broken pieces. He absolutely loves the broken pieces as well. Mary, our time has gone by too quickly. If we go to notstrictlyspiritual.com, can we get more information about the Zoom retreat that you're doing coming up right after the first of the year?
Yes, you can click on events and you'll find it there. And there's other retreats coming up at other locations as well.
The website, notstrictlyspiritual.com. We'll tweet that out at Drew Mariani Show on Twitter so you can take a look at what Mary DeTourist-Pouse is writing about. She's a retreat leader and a spiritual director in upstate New York. Take a look at her books. And, of course, it's all online at notstrictlyspiritual.com. Mary, thanks. God bless. Have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Mary DeTourist-Pouse here on the Drew Mariani Show. And coming up next, it's a very difficult time, especially if there's someone in your family, or maybe it's you, and you're struggling with some kind of substance abuse. What do you do about that? We're going to give you that help, those solutions, coming up next here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Connected. Relevant Radio.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Be who God meant you to be, and you'll set the world on fire. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew this afternoon. Blessed to be spending some time with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And certainly here we are in the Christmas season, Christmas and New Year's. It's filled. Our social calendars are filled with parties, with celebrations. But for some who deal with substance abuse, it is not a very happy time of the year. It really is a struggle. And if there is someone who is suffering from an alcohol addiction or a drug addiction, perhaps in your family, this is also for you a very difficult time because you want the very best for them. And perhaps relationships are strained just a little bit because of their addiction. Let's give you some help. Let's give you some focus right now. Father Douglas McKay is the founder and spiritual director of Our House Ministries. That's in the Grace Ferry section of Philadelphia. You can find them online at Our House. houseministries.org. Father McKay also serves as the international chaplain of the Calyx Society, which helps Catholics dealing with alcohol addiction, and they are online at calyxsociety.org. Father is joining us live from Philadelphia. Hello, Father. How are you?
Good, John. It's great to be back with you again, to be back with the harp of the Holy Spirit, God's microphone. So it's a real blessing to be with you and the listeners.
Well, and that's you as well, because we're going to help so many of our Relevant Radio listeners. And the scenario that I painted is a very realistic one for so many of our Relevant Radio family. What is your best advice to perhaps start a conversation with a loved one who may have alcohol addiction, who may have a drug addiction, to invite them, to bring them into the family, to understand, to let them know that they're welcome this Christmas?
Yeah, you know, family. I always think of family, that acronym. Forget about me, I love you. But, you know, sometimes families are very supportive for those who are in recovery, and sometimes they mean well, but they might say things like, you know, especially around the holidays, it's seasonal depression time, especially for those in recovery. They've burned bridges or trying to, you know, reunite themselves with family members. And, you know, they've been apart from their families, from their children or their spouses, and they're doing well. And then sometimes what happens is they come home and the family members might say something like, now, remember, don't pick up any drugs or alcohol again. Remember what you put the kids through and everything. And you know, one of the worst things, John, is the guilt complex that they have.
Yeah.
They have a hard time forgiving themselves. You know, sometimes they can feel like God's forgiven them, but to forgive themselves. And with the Calyx Society, we really, you know, we hit hard on that. You know, it's all about this. Calyx means chalice in the Latin. We substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. And if you take the letters C-A-L-I-X, the X for Christ as a symbol, Catholic addicts living in Christ. So it's all centered on the Eucharist, on the sacraments. You know, with the book that I just wrote, The Story of the Calyx Society, you know, we have two popes that really promotes this, two saints, Paul VI and John Paul II. And Paul VI was the first time that he really spoke about, any pope spoke about addiction. And it was back in 74, and the Calyx Society went to Rome, celebrating their 25th anniversary. And Paul VI really spoke about that, how we need the means, you know, to the human means, the counseling and all that for the human part, but especially the spiritual means, you know, the confession, the sacraments, the adoration, our prayers, our rosaries, the memorares, the Ave. So like families, hopefully, that you know, they're plugged into our Catholic faith or their own faith, and that they're really inspiring the ones to get back to their church, back to the community, you know, back to God. That is the solution. There is no other solution. Now, he's divine, Jesus is divine, and we're the branch, and apart from him, we can do nothing. That means absolutely nothing. But just for families to support their loved ones, especially if they're coming out of a recovering home and coming home for the first time, and they really have a lot of guilt, you know, and shame in them. And that's a big thing with Calyx. It's just getting them over that hump. They say, like, I would say, like, within 90 days, that first time that they go away, 90% will fall because they start hitting this guilt, what they did and what they done. And with the Calyx Society, we share our faith and we share, you know, about Jesus Christ, you know, his forgiveness, his love, his redemption. You know, greater than creation is his redemption. He restores us. It's like we haven't sinned. All of our sins is a drop in the ocean of his mercy. We have one cross plus three nails equals forgiven. You know, this mercy, it's so beautiful. And, you know, I like to always tell them, come off the cross, we need the wood, because they're always beating themselves up. But what we don't realize is we look up at the cross, and it's like saying to Jesus, you weren't enough for me. I got to still beat myself up. And that's our God hanging on the cross.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, his mission is to come and forgive our sins, destroy death, and bestow on us eternal life. But what's between, you know, forgiven sins and death is that guilt and shame. And he obliterates that if we let him. That's his mission. And I honor Jesus when I let him do that because he's completing his mission. Mm-hmm. So family members can really instill that God's forgiveness and mercy and just to really support their loved ones that are just coming back, you know, into sobriety because it is a long road, John.
Right.
You know, it takes like 2 years for the brain to heal from all the drugs and alcohol. But it's amazing. The brain will heal within 95% within the 2 years. So
wow.
It's a process. It takes time. But we really need to encourage our brothers and sisters who are in recovery and to help them to get out of drugs and alcohol and to get into recovery.
Father Douglas McKay is joining us here on the Drew Mariani Show, the founder, spiritual director of Our House Ministries in Philadelphia, also the international chaplain of the Calyx Society, helping Catholics deal with alcohol addiction. We're talking about dealing with addiction during this Christmas season. Our number is 888-914-9149. Perhaps there is someone who is addicted in your family and you're trying to get your arms around right now how you will embrace them or maybe just reach out to them to make them a part of the family, maybe to reduce their guilt that Father McKay is talking about. We're here to help. 888-914-9149. Father McKay, I know you've seen this because in some families, this is the elephant in the room. There is a family member who has a problem. It might be alcohol, it might be with drugs, but they refuse to acknowledge it. What do you do? How do you approach that, especially at this time of year when you want to include them in the family, yet you know that problem is there and it may be visible to you and the family?
Yeah, you know, they need the moment of truth. You know, they're in denial. And, you know, once a family can sit down, it's like that family intervention sometimes that they need. You sit down and, you know, you have to talk to them. You know, you have a problem, go away. And they'll be belligerent. They'll say, I don't have the problem. You got the problem. And very often, John, it's not the family members that can help them in that state. It's like you pray for the stranger because family members are, like, too close. You know, I have family relatives and all, and I have to get friends that are doing the 12-step work to go out and to talk to my loved ones, you know, and to bring that moment of truth to them. But sometimes I found you can make it worse, you know, family members, you know, you got to go away, you got to do this, and they're not ready, and they drink more, and, you know, it's nothing but fighting and bickering, and all kinds of problems will come from it, you know. But,
But speaking to that, would it be a spiritual work of mercy to bring that truth to them?
Yeah, I think so. You would have to really, you know, let them know that, you know, you have a problem. You ought to look into it and do something.
Right.
But sometimes it's not the family members that are going to break through them. You know, it's going to be somebody that's doing the 12-step work, you know. And especially those who are in recovery, you know, this is a tough time for them. You know, it's the seasonal depression. You know, a lot of the 12-step programs like AA, NA, they have what you call, you know, AA would have what you call the alkathons. And, you know, they'll have meetings all day long, you know, like Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. And they'll have, like, meetings, like, every hour, and they'll have food, and they'll have coffee. So they need to stay really close to the meetings, to the 12-step programs. Sober parties, you know, to be a friend, to stay close to your sponsors, you know, get on that telephone and talk because the temptations is going to be great. They fall a lot of times around Christmas and sometimes around New Year's, they're ready to bounce up again and start the new year over.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's tough. You know, drugs and alcohol, you know, it really is powerful, baffling, and cunning, you know, and the people that are addicted, they're the neediest of the needy, the poorest of the poor, the sickest of the sick. They're the least of his brothers and sisters. And it's, you know, a lot of prayer, praying for them. And that works. You know, that's what we do here at Calyx. It's get them to the sacraments, to Eucharist. And those who are in recovery especially, you know, adoration. It was something that St. Alphonsus said. He said, the Father delights in our adoration. And it's the very best for us, next to the sacraments. So we got to get to confession. And when we get to confession, we meet Jesus Christ. You know, the priest is a screen. We meet Jesus. We have a personal encounter with Jesus. And we have a more fruitful Holy Communion, a more fruitful adoration. You know, these sacraments are so powerful. I mean, this is our Catholic faith. This is Jesus Christ.
Right.
The priest is in persona Christi. And we need to really instill that, because the priesthood is being knocked every which way. Satan knows where to attack anything holy.
Priesthood, yeah,
child in the womb, marriage, whatever it might be.
And it's one of those things that we've been talking about this afternoon. Father Douglas McKay, who is the international chaplain of the Calix Society, helping Catholics deal with alcohol addiction, online at calixsociety.org, 888-914-9149, our number, in helping you deal with family members who perhaps have an addiction and how you approach them, especially, and to let them know that they are loved. And I know it's a very fine line. You want to love them, and you do love them, but you also want to help them at the same time. And it can be a very difficult conversation to have. Father Doug will give you some help here at 888-914-9149. Marie's in California. Marie, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. You're on with Father McKay.
Hi. I don't want to drag this out. I'll just try to make it salient points. My son has had a lifelong problem with alcohol. I think it came from a broken home early in his life. But my perception, we live in the same town, was that he was, for the most part, staying sober. I was away for 2 weeks, and when I came back, I found a totally different person. He was delusional, and he had had an incident that resulted in the termination of his lease where he's employed. So he's unemployed. He almost got taken, evicted from his apartment because of his behavior. And he has displayed behavior that has unfortunately resulted in him being under observation. I can't reach him. I mean, we talk about it. I'm obviously miserable. I don't know what to do for him. He has a lot of anger directed to me specifically. Other relatives, I mean, he keeps the conversations very brief. He's just a totally different person. And so I can't even reach out and try to let him know I love him. He just won't listen to me. And it seems like his anger has intensified to the point where I am even questioning whether somehow, and this was my intelligent son who would always, you know, look down on this kind of thing, but I just wonder if somehow he got involved with drugs. I worry about his soul. I don't want him to die at, you know, the end of a policeman's gun or somebody else's, and I don't want him to do anything horrible to himself during this time. I did send a priest out to talk to him. I don't think he let him in. He basically stops people at the door. That's what he does with me, and so the priest didn't really say much to me in return. He just, I mean, I got a message from him, and he said, I did talk to him briefly, and I had asked him if he would offer him confession, because I don't want my son to die with the kinds of things he's been saying and his behavior. I've prayed for him all his life. I pray constantly, and I feel like it went the opposite direction, and I don't know that there's a connection between me leaving and him deciding that he was going to go on this almost self-destructive, direction.
Sure. And Marie, let me just put you on hold here for a moment, because I'm going to take a quick break, and Father McKay will help you coming up in just a couple of seconds here. This is Marie in California. Her older son has been really entrenched with alcohol and what to do, and he certainly changed his behavior in the last couple of weeks as well. As we talk about dealing with addiction, especially during the holidays in your family, you have probably seen that. We're giving you solutions with Father Douglas McKay of the Calix Society. Marie, the answer to your question and yours too, coming up here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Drew Mariani is here for you on Relevant Radio.
Drew Mariani will be here for you on Monday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. John Harper filling in with Father Douglas McKay, who is the founder and spiritual director of Our House Ministries in Philadelphia and the international chaplain of the Calix Society, helping Catholics dealing with alcohol addiction, online at calixsociety.org. We have a number of people who need your input, Father, that we'll get to. But first, we want to help out Marie in California. Her son, she went away for a couple of weeks, and her son kind of reverted back into his old habits and is back either in drugs or in alcohol or or both, and she really wants to save his soul and get him some help, but he's kind of shut her out. What is the first thing that she should do, or the best thing that she should do right now?
Yeah. First of all, the priest is not the first move, you know. Sobriety is the first step. Without sobriety, there's no second step. Once you get sober, then, you know, Calyx Society comes in. There was a saying, Marie, from our founder, Bill Montroy, that AA restores your health and keeps you from an early grave. So that's the first step. And then Calyx saves your soul and puts you on the road to heaven. So, Marie, was your son away before in any programs?
Was he able to do that, Marie?
No, he's never been that bad before. This is the worst I've ever seen him. And it really prompted me to wonder if there was any connection between my two-week vacation away. I don't know, something from his youth that just turned on, because it just seemed so odd. It just was an overnight change, and he just let everything go. And that is not the way he had been in the last few years.
In your experience, Father McKay, can things change that quickly, as Marie saw with her son?
Yeah, you know, because like alcoholism is a progressive disease. They say once you, if you pick up, you don't leave off where you left off, but you pick up where you would have been if you kept drinking, because right. It's a progressive disease. So if you pick up the drink, you're worse than before. But Marie, I'm just thinking it may be cross addiction, not just alcohol. It could be also drugs. But if he has any friends that are in 12-step programs, you know, that somebody can come to him. Like the most, they said, I always say to my friends, what's the most important step? And they never answer. They'll say step one. I say, no, the doorstep. We have to show up and get the help that we need from the people who have suffered with the same disease that your son's suffering with. They're the ones that really to help them.
Yeah.
He gets a sponsor. He's at the program, the 12-step program, AA. But, somebody can reach out, but you're not so much the one to help them. In fact, you get as sick as he is, if not sicker, and you need to protect yourself from his disease.
So, Marie, perhaps you can reach out to some of his friends or someone who might be in a 12-step program.
Yep.
I'm sure you probably know someone who is, and that could be a good first step. And count on our prayers, Marie, and I'm going to keep you in my intentions this weekend as well. John in Decatur, Illinois, with Father Douglas McKay, who's the International Chaplain of the Calyx Society, as we talk about dealing with addiction at Christmas time. Hi, John. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Oh, thank you. I was just listening, and then I got to thinking, you know, I was so bad that I actually missed my niece's wedding. My wife and I were in the wedding, and we couldn't make it to the wedding. We'd been up all night drinking and doing some other things, and it was really bad. This is almost in 2003. And then when my dad, on his deathbed, I couldn't even make it to the hospital when the ambulance was called. So I went through some terrible ordeals, and then the guilt. So there was a sweet lady at church that asked if I would take an adoration hour, and I said, sure, no problem. I really enjoy that. And then she said, well, it's on Saturday morning at 8:00. Like, oh my gosh. Because Friday night was my fuel up hour, you know? So I would have to stay sober on Friday night in order to make adoration at 8:00 in the morning. So that started a huge change in my life. And I've, you know, now I've got a 17-year-old son and an 8-year-old daughter, and I'm 62. So I've, it changed a lot. But I think the adoration had a lot to do with it. And going to Mass when we would drop our kids off at school, you know, God would say, hey, you can make 8:00 Mass. It won't hurt. And then trying to, you know, make work in work. I mean, drinking and drugging is like work. It's a job. And this is so much easier. So anybody out there listening, you know, adoration and, you know, the 12-step program is a great program, but I call it, it's a one-step program. It's a boundary word called no. Mm-hmm. And I just have the power now to say no.
It's a very powerful witness, Father McKay.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Especially for your devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. I always like to say radiation therapy. In fact, I knew someone here, Philadelphia area. We have the Holy Spirit Adoration Sisters called the Pink Sisters. And that's what he did every morning. They have adoration all day long. He would go in front of the Blessed Sacrament, exposed Blessed Sacrament, and receive those graces. And that won him over, you know. John, are you in a 12-step program at all?
John, are you still in a 12-step program?
I'll tell you a funny story about that, okay? I know you don't have a lot of time, so I went to AA meetings, and I went to meet the guys at, I had a business luncheon, and the guys from AA wouldn't shake my hand. And can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
And I asked him why the AA leader at the time said, why won't you shake the man's hand? And he says, well, when he's at an AA meeting, he talks about his business. And he said, you shouldn't be talking about your business. And instead of getting upset and, you know, snapping back at him, I said, okay, we won't do that. So I shied away from AA. So at that point, when I walked out of the restaurant, you know what happened to me, Father? I looked up and God, I said to Jesus, I said, that's all he's got on me is I talk about my business. Thank you, Jesus. So I thought, you know, the AA meetings are good for some folks, but at that point, you know, I had to step back because when you say the Our Father, you know, at the conclusion of the meetings, you know, I wanted to say, you know, if it's my turn to talk, then let me talk. If my prayer is too long or my talk's too long, then, you know, you're not in the mood to listen. And if I'm bothering you, it'll make you want to go back to drinking. So.
Yeah.
And I used to listen to Father Carapi. Do you remember him, Father Carapi?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
So his testimony was amazing. And I would say his and our testimony is very similar. I won't go into detail, but he has what a great testimony. And I actually named our son Max after St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Mm.
And I had no idea that he was the patron saint of drug addicts and alcoholics.
Oh, yeah. He's one of our go-tos.
My cousin came down from Wisconsin, and she had tears in her eyes when I had one of those medallions, the icons that I would keep in my pocket, you know. And she teared up, and I go, "Why are you getting so emotional?" She goes, "Have you ever read the back of this?" And I said, "No, I just looked at the front." And she said, "Do you see this?" I'll just say it's been a huge witness. And then I went through a great banquet in the Konania. And, you know, I just, in fact, we sponsored the Drew Mariani show at 3:00. So I get to say the chaplet, you know, the St. Joseph prayer, anything I can do, the St. Michael prayer. Right now, the St. Teresa, you know, St. Teresa of the Child Jesus Novena from the, you know, from the 7th to the, or the 9th to the 17th, you know, it's just become a huge place for me. So anybody out there, you know, commit yourself to prayer, devotion to the Blessed Sacrament at the adoration, because it gives you into that silence where you can be still and know that he is God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hey, John, what a tremendous witness.
John, you mentioned Maximilian Kolbe. He's one of our go-to, and he is the patron saint of drug addicts. But in fact, I was just on a retreat for the Knights of the Immaculata. You know, Mary, the Blessed Mother. You know, we give out the Miraculous Medal down here,
yeah,
and it's just amazing. They die with the medal, and they recover with the medal. It's really a Miraculous Medal. It's the medal of the Immaculate Conception.
I got to jump in because we're out of time, but we have to continue this conversation again on the Drew Mariani Show because you have helped. And John, thank you so much. God bless you for your witness in Decatur, Illinois. The Calix Society, C-A-L-I-X. Again, that's spelled C-A-L-I-X. Father Douglas McKay is the international chaplain of the Calix Society, helping Catholics deal with alcohol addiction online. CalixSociety.org, C-A-L-I-X, Society.org. Father Doug, thank you. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Drew is back on Monday afternoon. Thank you, and God bless you, and Merry Christmas to you from Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.